You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. We're in the month of Ramadan, one of the most sacred times for Muslims across the world. But is the month any different if you're blind or partially sighted? Today we're speaking to RNIB Tech Talk's very own Tasneem Arshad. Tasneem, it's great to speak to you.
Yeah, wonderful to be here as always.
For listeners not familiar, Tasneem, tell us a little bit about Ramadan and how it's marked.
Ramadan is, as you said, it's one of the most holiest times for Muslims across the world. And it's a whole month of observing fasting. So you're eating before sunrise, you're eating after sunset, no water intake, no food intake. There's multiple reasons for fasting, and there's a lot of evidence and research that supports this, both in Eastern and Western cultures. You know, how effective it is in terms of for your physical health and for gut health and lots of different things. But ultimately, it's also about really empathizing about people in the third world and underdeveloped countries, and really understanding what it's like for people who don't have access to food as readily as we have in the developing countries. You know, for 11 months of the year, we eat what we like, we drink what we like. You know, we've got access to food galore, whether that's takeaways, whether it's cooking at home, going out to the shops and purchasing things. But for people who don't have any of those amenities, it's really important to really understand what it's like for people who don't have access to all of these amenities and facilities. So that's part of it, as well as really increasing your spiritual growth and development.
And how is Ramadan different for people who are blind and partially sighted? Do you have to make changes to the way that you mark the month because of your sight loss?
For me personally, I don't think it does. Because it's about equality. You're undertaking the same thing in terms of fasting. Of course, there are exceptions. You know, if you're expecting a child, or if you're really poorly and unwell, if you're traveling, it's not a definitive kind of you must fast, you know, and this is the only way forward. Obviously, if you're healthy and you're able to undertake and observe Ramadan, that's brilliant. But obviously, there are exceptions for people who are unable to participate. And you can always make up fasts afterwards. So, for example, if you are expecting, if you are traveling to a different country, if your health is really poor and it's not likely to, you know, you're not likely to recover from that, then there are alternative things that you can do. But I think the only thing really in terms of, I would say in terms of accessibility, if you're observing Ramadan on your own, which most people wouldn't be doing. They would be spending time with family, making those arrangements. I have a significant time off work in the year every time Ramadan comes. It comes once a year and it's annual for a whole month. And I ensure that my annual leave is booked about 4 months in advance for this from work. Other people choose to stay at work, whichever works best for them. But I think there needs to be a lot more flexibility around employers, and their understanding needs to be deepened around changing people's working schedules, shift patterns to also accommodate Ramadan. I think that's really important. But in terms of, you know, how it's different for blind and partially sighted people, I think accessibility is quite challenging, because a lot of the timetabling that's around, unless you're observing with family and you're able to tell exactly, because timing is really key in terms of prayer times and opening the fast, and you can't be delayed when you open your fast. Obviously, not only are you hungry, you know, are you kind of, you've waited all day to break your fast, but the timing is very important, because if you go over that timing, then your fast kind of becomes void. So in terms of accessibility for timetabling, the times change on a daily basis as to when sunset is. So that accessibility point of view is very important. And, you know, I know there's been days where I haven't been around family and I've had to ring and ask, you know, what time is the fast opening? And it differs in terms of whichever location you're in. So if you're up in Scotland, it's going to differ to the time that sunset is in London, and different to the time that it is in Wales and Shropshire and so on.
And you mentioned accessibility there. Of course, we know all about your interest in technology, Tasneem, from your work on Tech Talk. Do you use any technology specifically during Ramadan?
Mainly my iPhone, I guess, in terms of accessing the Holy Book, the Quran, doing a lot of reading. So, you know, some of the apps that I've heard of that are accessible, well, that other people use, sighted people will use, I don't find that they're particularly, as I said, accessible in terms of either accessing chapters of the Holy Book or in terms of timetabling for looking at when the fast is closing or what the prayer times are, because that's another thing, you know, it's all about spiritual growth as well, and worship and bringing you closer to your spiritual Lord. So I think that there could be a lot more done in terms of increasing that accessibility, but it's really about people coming together and really highlighting, you know, what's accessible, what's not accessible, and how you can make that more accessible for, you know, blind and partially sighted people, because that aspect isn't accessible. It's not, yes, you can get audio versions of, as I'm sure you probably can for the Bible and for other holy books as well, but in terms of actually reading, let's say, a line of Arabic and reading the English translation for that, which some apps do, it's not easily, you know, if I wanted to read the Quran online, that's actually quite difficult because I don't think any of the technology is around. You know, I'm happy to be corrected actually if I'm mistaken on this, but I don't think some of the apps that are available to sighted people where they can access the Holy Book and read it online, I don't think that's accessible currently for blind and partially sighted people. So it's an area of development that I think would be really helpful.
Well, what comes at the end of the month, Tasneem? How will you be celebrating?
So we have Eid at the end of Ramadan. There's also another Eid, which is at the end of the Holy Pilgrimage, which happens 2.5 months later after Ramadan. So usually with family, so lots of gatherings, lots of food. You know, food is always involved in festivity, similar to, you know, what happens around Christmas. It's a really strong family time where you would go to your parents' homes and have all of your siblings present and really share food and lots of presents for the children. And yeah, also some people might celebrate with going, you know, taking the children outdoors as well. So lots of going to people's houses, visiting family, eating food, and really celebrating the month of the end of Ramadan. But also during Ramadan, when you break your fast, it's very traditional to invite people to break the fast with you. So, you know, a lot of time is also spent visiting family and breaking fast and inviting people. And as I said, food is very key to this this as well.
Well, if you'd like ideas about accessible ways to celebrate Ramadan with your family, then visit the RNIB website and search for Ramadan. Tasneem Arshad, we wish you all the best during the month of Ramadan. And thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. And Ramzan Kareem to everybody who's observing Ramadan this year.